Welcome to Valley Church. My name is Mark. I think everyone knows that, so that's awesome. And I am very happy to see all you guys today, and the weather is significantly different than it was last week already. It's crazy. But if you weren't here last week, we started our prayer series. So the hope of this series is that we, Valley Church, would be people that pray. And the foundation of prayer that we're talking about starts with this idea of simple prayer, which is that we need to be completely ourselves, and we can be completely ourselves before the Lord. And wherever we're at in life, with whatever we are doing, big things, little things, all that type of stuff, and with God. So that is the idea of simple prayer, completely ourselves, where we are at with God. It's a very, very simple concept, actually, but it's easy to lose sight of as life happens and stuff like that. So just wanted to remind us and dive into this week. Maybe last week, if you heard the message or whatever, or maybe even in the past, you tried to pray and make praying a habit that you are doing. And for me, it's not gone so well all the time. But I want to ask that if you haven't tried, that you try this week. And it's prayer is one of the things we can probably all agree that prayer is super important for disciples of Jesus. I don't know anyone who follows Jesus that would say otherwise. Ruth Haley Barton, she's a Bible scholar. She says, prayer is all the ways in which we communicate and commune with God. And that's pretty much like all the stuff that we do. All the stuff that we do with the Lord is communicating, communing with Him. So that makes prayer, even though we're like, yeah, we should do this, it makes it even more essential. We need to make prayer this daily thing that we are doing. So maybe that is you. Maybe you have that desire to pray. And maybe you're like me, and you don't know how to do it all the time. You don't know how to make that a part of your daily routine. I've read some books, listened to podcasts. I'm sure you've all like heard something about like prayer and how it should be a part of your life. But the one analogy that I like is prayer being a rhythm of prayer. Anyone watch the March Madness NCAA stuff? Yeah, anyone? A few of you? Not many. Oh, okay. Well, this might not hit, but whatever. I love it. I love basketball. It's one of the things that I love to watch just because I like to watch the players and the strategy and stuff like that. And during March Madness, this is a time when like the underdog can win. And that's because sometimes they get into a rhythm. And I don't know, just like every shot going through the basket, every pass hitting people perfectly in stride. It's amazing to watch a team that is in rhythm. I also have golfed my entire life, and one of the most important things for golf swing is rhythm. If you are swinging as hard as you can, trying to hit a tiny little white ball with another tiny little object, you need the correct rhythm. Otherwise, that ball's going to go who knows where, and you'll lose it and be really sad and wonder why you're playing the game. Another example is music. Who loves music? Yes? Woo, this one will work. Okay. So if our discipleship to Jesus is like a song, then prayer is like the beat of the song. The rest of the instruments, the vocals, those all go along with the beat. So without like a beat, songs would be like incoherent. Like you wouldn't be able to understand what's going on if the other instruments were not playing along to the same beat. Lose their timing, the song would be a mess. We need to develop a rhythm of prayer. So we're going to talk about that and look at some examples from the Bible and where we can start as disciples of Jesus. So talking about rhythm of prayer, let's get in the rhythm right now and pray a little bit. So Father, we surrender this moment to you. We surrender our minds, our hearts, and Lord, we just pray that prayer can be things that we do on a daily basis, Lord. We just pray that as we follow you, that we would learn what it means to make prayer a rhythm. And Lord, we just love it. I pray that we would love to pray. And just as we look through a few examples here in Scripture, and Lord, would you stir something in our hearts, and Lord, just instill in us something that makes us want to pray. Be more with you, Lord. So we ask that and pray that in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, so let's look at a couple prayer rhythms in the Bible. So God's people prayed traditionally morning, noon, and night. And this is often referred to as set prayer, set times during the day when people would pray. Daniel, one of the examples in the Old Testament is a guy, not just a guy, a super godly guy, so well known for his godliness that a king was like, wow, you are amazing. I like you. You're fantastic. His name was King Darius. And other people started getting jealous of how close of a relationship Daniel had with the king. So they convinced King Darius to basically make a law where it was illegal to pray to any other god besides King Darius. And this is what it says in Daniel 6:10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, the law about praying to another god being illegal, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before, just as he had always done, just like this beautiful rhythm of prayer that he could not stop doing, even though there was a law. Daniel had such this beautiful rhythm that, and so faithful that even though there was this law, he didn't care. Nothing was going to stop him. And God delivered him from the lion's den that he would eventually be thrown into. Okay, let's look real quick at David here. Probably all know David wrote most of the Psalms and just his story of God bringing up this like little kid who had no business defeating Goliath to becoming a king. It's crazy. However, along the way, he developed a lot of enemies. A lot of people did not like that. God chose this guy. And whether it was Saul or the Philistines, David seems like he's always on the run and afraid for his life at some point. And in Psalm 55, that's exactly what happens. And it says this in 55, 16 through 17. "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." I don't know why exactly evening comes first here, but David is calling out to the Lord to rescue him on a regular basis, on a rhythm to the Lord, saying, "Help me, save me. People are trying to kill me." It might be easy to dismiss set prayer, because set prayer, when we talk about this, it's like, that sounds like religious. It sounds like if there's a list of things to do, cool. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Check, I did it. Or it's 12 o'clock. Check, I did it again. It's easy to dismiss this. Also because of the Pharisees, and we just talked about how they like to pray in public, and we're always talking against the Pharisees and the heart of what they were doing. So it's easy to dismiss this. However, this was further back in time when it wasn't just like, cool, we have Christmas and Easter and a lot of things. This is like their whole day, the whole existence revolved around God. They planned their day early in the morning, this set time where they would pray. In the middle of the day, they would set time, put it aside. They knew this was time to pray to the Lord. It's easy for us to dismiss this and say, it was super religious and I don't want anything to do with that. But there's something to be said for the consistency. There's something to be said for knowing I have to be here. And when I am here, I'm going to pray. And maybe that's a reminder that we could all use. and exactly what we need. Okay, so we have set prayer. That is one example. Another one, 1 Thessalonians, and one that I feel like at one point in following Jesus, I've tried and failed multiple times, but this constant state of prayer Paul talks about. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, pray continually. Just always walking around with prayer hands, being, yes, Lord, I am praying to you, and even in your conversations. That just was mind-blowing to me. I was like, how does he do that? How would that be even possible? Like, to even comprehend doing that, I was like, that he's just light years above me. But I'm going to just shotgun a ton of little verses at you and give you maybe a little bit of what was going through Paul's mind when he was saying that, because he basically gives a little hint to this in a lot of his letters, maybe not all of them, but he says this in 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Ephesians 1:16 says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippians 1:3, I thank God every time I remember you. Colossians 1:3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Romans 1:9 through 10, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. So Paul is continually praying because he is praying and remembering and praying. He's got like his mind on his prayers and his prayers on his mind. It's a crazy, just like cycle of prayer. And I don't know if that helps kind of like show how he was able to continuously be in prayer, but a man who just remembers to pray and in his prayers remembers more things to pray about, and man, that is a man that is Paul right here, continuously praying. It's kind of crazy. So I could end the sermon and say like, all right, go set pray, continuously be in prayer, and it would probably be fantastic. And if we all tried to do this, it would be fantastic probably. We would all probably have some sort of benefit learning more about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a disciple. However, I think we need to look at Jesus, because obviously we love Jesus, and I think Jesus has a lot to teach us. Not explaining more about set prayer, maybe a little bit of what it means to continually pray, but of the heart of prayer. So the last rhythm I want to talk about is Jesus. Did Jesus do set prayer? There's a chance he did. Did Jesus pray continually? I'm betting he probably was in a continuous state of prayer and conversation with the Lord. Seems like it. What we know for sure, though, is that Jesus prayed, and he prayed a lot. We should pray like Jesus, and it would be amazing, but that's obviously easier said than done. I'm going to just shoot out, again, a bunch of examples here and talk about them, because I think they all culminate in the heart of what Jesus wants for us in our prayer rhythms. So Luke 6:12, he says, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Okay, Jesus prayed before big decisions. I don't know if you've ever had a big decision, but Chris and I just got a house. It's a big decision. A lot of money, a lot of stress, and it was one of those things where we were just continually talking about, like, what is this house? We want this, but we don't want that. I hope it has this. Ooh, and then we're dreaming like, oh, no, we can't afford that. What are we doing? So we just have these huge decisions and things like that. The decision Jesus was going through in this verse as he was selecting the 12 disciples. Talk about a big decision. Spending an entire night in prayer with his Father in heaven, deciding who the 12 disciples would be. Man, that is epic. Could Jesus have picked the disciples without praying? he's God, probably could have, but I believe there is a example that he's trying to set for us here, that these big decisions are important, and God wants to be a part of them. Not only big decisions, but big events. We look in Luke 3:21. It says this, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. So this is kind of like Jesus's like big party, like, here I am, world. I am ready to minister the gospel and do ministry among the people. And who did he talk to while it was happening? He was talking to his father while he was being baptized. This huge event, Jesus was praying to his father. And it would be just crazy to not talk about this. Matthew 26:36, the garden. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. This insanely stressful event where Jesus is talking and pleading with the Father, like, take away this cup if it's your will. This, like, blood pouring out of his sweat pores. He is talking with his Father, praying to him about this huge, huge event that is about to take place. The event before his crucifixion. It's crazy, but he prays with his Father. And not only big events, we have some small ones here too. Well, they seem small, but compared to some other things, I guess. But Matthew 14:19, it says, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. So this is before feeding the 5,000. Something simple as just praying for food before a meal. Jesus prayed to his Father. And in Luke 5:15-16, it says, yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus prayed, I think, to recharge, to bring life back into himself. I don't know if you've ever had, if you haven't had kids, there's just this feeling of responsibility of life. Like, you have to keep them alive. Ask my wife about it. She will tell you. But just the responsibility of other people looking to you to help them. It's got to be draining physically, spiritually, emotionally. All these people going, Jesus, you're my only hope. And yes, fully God, but also fully human. He's experiencing everything. And he takes this moment, withdraws to a lonely place, and prays to his Father. He needed to get away and pray. Jesus also prays for people. I'm not going to read the whole high priestly prayer in John, but man, he prays for his disciples. He prays for all these future believers in him. He prays for their, just the way they would follow him, their heart, and that they would be protected and safe. And the craziest prayer that I can think of that he prays is when he is on the cross and he is praying for the people that are crucifying in that moment. He's saying, Father, please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In that moment, he is lifting up these people to his Father in heaven, asking for their forgiveness. Jesus prayed when he needed to, before he needed to, as he needed to, all to his Father in heaven. And that's what I think the heart is. It's this relational aspect of prayer. It's not, yes, we can set prayer, we can try to continuously pray, but if we are missing this relational element, man, I think we're missing the point of prayer. And I think in thinking about Jesus praying relationally, and that's like what he did, I think about, that's basically the way I should probably communicate with my wife. And like all the things, that examples I just talked about, these big decisions, man, like, buying a house, my wife and I, we talked it through. Even like talking about what we're gonna have for dinner, my wife and I communicate like, hey, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, me neither. And I'm like, okay. That's a conversation we have though. We talk about those types of things. And especially if I was gonna invite 5,000 people over and we only had a few loaves and fish, I was like, oh, sorry. But just thinking about these conversations, these important and even mundane things, Jesus lifting up to his Father, saying, man, this is important enough and even unimportant maybe in other people's eyes, but I want to talk to my Father in heaven about this. Because I think we should be probably more like the kids in the room, okay? They're all back there now and over here and all over the place, but we should be more like the kids. Man, my kids tell me about everything with such passion. Daddy, I sat on a branch. And I'm like, cool. Like, wow, that's amazing. And Junie, it's like, Dad, that cardboard house that you built, it's really cool. I trust me, I built it. But man, Daddy, that cardboard house that you built is so fun. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, we colored it. And I'm like, wow, what is that? Oh, art, it's amazing. They love to tell me everything that happened with passion, with like, they don't care what it would be about, but they want to tell me. That's what I believe our heart should be with the Lord. When we talk with him, our heart should be to share everything. Some of Jesus' prayers are written, but most of them aren't because he did go away and he was by himself. But I think when I re-look at the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, thinking more about how this relationship with the Father really mattered, it strikes me when he starts it with our Father in heaven. Man, what a the way to start your prayer with our Father in heaven. Like, I could talk about the rest of the verses in here, but our Father, this relationship with God the Father, so important. And he wants us to have that same thing. Teaching his disciples to pray in this way. My daughter is laughing, and it is the cutest thing and so distracting. Oh my gosh. Okay. But Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus is giving us this beautiful template and paradigm for all sorts of future relational prayers. We should totally pray. Yes. And it follows like this prayer format that scholars would be like, yeah, this is a good format to pray. But man, don't miss out on this relational stuff that Jesus has for us in here. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Like, knowing things about the Father, Jesus doesn't want us to miss out how beautiful the Father is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wants us to know the goodness that he is going to bring. Give us today our daily bread. There are things we need today. Things like food, water, being alive takes work. Jesus cares that we pray for those things. And forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Man, we screw up. We make mistakes. Jesus wants to reconcile those things in our mind, knowing now that Jesus died for those things. But man, we need to think about those things and the price that it took. Deliver us from those things and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There are temptations out in the world. There is an enemy, and we need to be delivered from it. The enemy. Leon Morris says, Jesus is giving us a model that may be useful, usefully be employed in fashioning other prayers. I believe so. The Lord's Prayer isn't just the Lord's. It should be ours. Michael Wilkins says, not so much a command to pray, but an invitation to share in the prayer life of Jesus himself. And I think that's what it is, an invitation to share in what Jesus was, those examples I gave before, this need and desire and just excitement to share everything with the Lord. So let's develop a rhythm of prayer. But more importantly, let's develop a rhythm of relational prayer. Don't beat yourself up if, like, before you've tried and failed. I have tried and failed many times. But when we try to follow Jesus without a rhythm of prayer, it's like we're that basketball team just chucking passes around, throwing bricks at the rim. I don't know. Maybe we're like a golfer with no rhythm, swinging our hardest, doing our best. Maybe we have all the physical tools, but without rhythm, we got nothing. Or maybe it's like that song. Could have the best vocalist. Could have Greta and Michael playing and all these amazing musicians, but without a rhythm to hold it all together, man, it could be a disaster. And that's what I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to have like all these Bible tools and go into checking off things off the box. And I don't want all those things, but I don't want to be stuck without communicating with the Lord, having all these things but no communication, no relational prayer with the Lord. So let's develop that rhythm of relational prayer. So all that to say, let's start. Let's do it. My encouragement is let's try it. Let's start with maybe even once a day. And I'm saying this now because I am asking for accountability in this, but 7:30 a.m. is when I will be praying. And if at 7:30 a.m. you would like to join me, man, I would love it. Maybe we'll feel closer. I don't know. Maybe we'll become best friends after this. But praying through the Lord's Prayer could be something you do. Maybe we just went through the Daily Office not too long ago. The Bible app has a prayer thing. If you go through the menus, it leads you through a little guided prayer. Those are really good resources. But man, there's so many ways to make prayer something we do daily. I just want to read through just a ton of really large topics that could have their own sermons, honestly. But I want to allow us all to know these different types of prayers. The first one is lament. And I feel like even talking with Leanne about this not too long ago, lament is something we are bad at, probably, at just living in the society that we live in. We like focus on the good rather than the bad. But sometimes, man, we need to allow the pain to be there. And laments are just prayers of pain, prayers of complaint, crying out to the Lord, saying, this is bad. There's prayer of confession. Man, I know no better prayer of confession than Psalm 51, David crying out to God, against you only have I sinned, and create in me a pure heart, O God, in response to Bathsheba killing her husband. Man, there is some huge confession and asking for God to forgive. Obviously, like we talk about joy and giving thanks, and that is a prayer that, man, lifts the heart. There are obviously prayer requests and things like that. I think we are pretty well versed in requesting things from God, but there is no request too big. And there are no things that are off limits. Sorry, I gotta restart my camera. There are also prayer retreats. Guys, I don't know if you've ever gone on one. Actually, I'm gonna give a shout out. Greta went on a prayer retreat not too long ago and spent not just like 10 minutes with the Lord, but spent a day with the Lord in prayer before him. These are things that as Jesus followers, like sometimes we're like, oh, it's hard to schedule that stuff in. But man, let's go for it. Let's go on prayer retreats. We've kind of talked about meditating and listening prayer previously with some of our practices and stuff like that. So I won't talk too much about them, but these are meditating on the words of the Lord and allowing some stillness before the Lord so that he can speak to us, because a lot of times we're just loud. This is kind of a crazy one. It's called the prayer of examine. And so I feel like Psalm 139 gives a good example. It says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. And this is allowing God just like, yes, he can see everything, but allowing him to look into you, saying, Lord, examine me, find flaw, like, tell me what it is in me that is not of you, and allowing the Lord to examine you. And finally, there's stuff like praying the Psalms and some crazy stuff like singing prayer, but essentially, there's tons of ways to pray. And I just want us as Valley Church to be people that pray again. So I'll encourage you again, let's start together. And if you guys are willing, join me at 7:30 a.m. I'll be there. If you will be there, I won't know, so there's no pressure. But if you want to start this journey, maybe again for the 100th time, but maybe this time it'll stick. This time the Lord will bless this time. And as the worship band comes up, I just want to lead us through just a tiny little bit of prayer to the Lord together. And let's just surrender this time to the Lord.